is good to be in the house of the Lord. Again, want to welcome those who are visiting with us today. We are thankful that you made it to this particular church house, realizing that there are many places that you could have gone. But since God led you here, we want to be a blessing to you. Let us remember to keep Pastor Bingham and Sister Bingham and her family in prayer as they recover, and as Sister Bingham is away seeing about her family members. Also during this season, remember to keep those in prayer who have, the families in prayer who have lost loved ones and may be going through a tough time during this holiday season. Again, I am grateful to be here to stand before you. If you would open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 39, actually through 45. Let me breathe a word of prayer as you stand out of reverence for God's word. Father God, we thank you for this preaching opportunity, completely understanding that I am not worthy to stand behind this sacred desk to preach your word to these your people. So God, I ask now that you would forgive me of all of my sins and renew me afresh. God, I need your help to preach the spirit of this text. I need your help to preach the structure of this text. And I need your help to preach the substance of this text. God, I'm asking now that you would extend me the grace to preach like a dying man, to dying women and men, as if to never preach again. In the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer. Amen. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 35, I'm reading from the English Standard Translation of Scripture, and it reads like this. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." You may take your seats. Today I'd like to preach from the thought of valued visit. I need you to know that there is great joy in the presence of Jesus. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, Psalm 96, both the 11th and 12th stanza, and then Psalm 98 in its entirety, is where the foundational passages of the scriptures that influenced the hymn writer Isaac Watts to pen the words, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. This or these words of Isaac Watts have traveled through the years and across the globe, pointing to the fact that anytime Jesus is around, joy is around. Beloved, I need you to understand that this text, like this song, is not about excitement. It's about joy. We see Mary, the mother of Jesus, in excitement, but that excitement is only fueled by joy. I need you to know that sometimes we get excited about things that won't matter tomorrow, and it certainly won't matter in eternity. For instance, I know that there are some Cowboy fans here. I know that this is going to get me in trouble, but I'm a Bear fan, and we've all been struggling this year. And the truth of the matter is, the other day, the Bears took out the Cowboys. I know I wasn't going to get a lot of amens, but so be it. However, I was excited about the final score, but the truth of the matter is, it did not bring me joy because I know that next week the Bears are going to have a problem. That's just the way that things go. But here in the text, what we find is not just a sense of excitement. We find Mary experiencing great Jesus joy. Let me just take some time and explain a few things to you in the text, and I'll get out of your way. There was joy in a specific goal that Mary had. Verse 39 says, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah." The verses leading up to our passage for today tells us that Mary had gotten some good news that she needed to deal with. She had been told something and given a truth that was going to take and it needed to be processed. My brothers and sisters, there are times that me and you and I will need to process some things. Often, we'll have to process things on our own, but every now and then we need to reach out and get some help to process the things that we've heard. The Bible tells us that Mary, with haste, leaves where she is at, and she runs to her cousin Elizabeth's house. Watch this, because she wants to share some good news that she's gotten with Elizabeth. Mary has found out from Gabriel the angel that she's pregnant with the Son of God. Isn't that something? You'll never experience this type of joy. You and I will never experience this type of excitement. But Mary was privileged, Mary was favored to experience this type of joy that's foreign to you and I. The Bible says, "In haste, Mary went to the hill country to a town in Judah." Judah, this place where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. But I need you to realize that there are some differences in life circumstances and lifestyles. Zechariah and Elizabeth are very likely a wealthy married couple. Mary is not. Zechariah and Elizabeth are old in age. Mary is a teenager. Zechariah and Elizabeth are expecting a baby, but Elizabeth is much further along in her pregnancy than Mary. Let me explain something else in the text. Verse 40 and 41, we see that there was not only joy in Mary's going, but there was also joy in Elizabeth's greeting. Verse 40 says, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Verse 41, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary is young and perhaps even naive, but Mary knew enough that when she got into the house, she greeted her elder. She had a certain sense of reverence toward Elizabeth to such an extent that the King James translation of Scripture declares that Mary walks into the house and she salutes Elizabeth. This may mean a little bit more than we think it means. You see, not only did Mary tell Elizabeth hello, the tone of the text implies to you and to me that Mary was glad to see Elizabeth. She was glad to be there. This is a teenage girl glad to be in the presence of one of the senior saints. Listen, this ought to teach us something. Some folk call me young, but I'm as old as I've ever been. And every now and then, I just like being in the presence of some senior folk. Senior folk got good wisdom. Reverend Dr. Claiborne Salter, who baptized me, he says, if you want to find out something, you need to ask the person coming back from where you're going, not the person traveling with you. Why? Because the person who's already been where you're going has a little bit more experience than you. They know what's down the road, and they can coach you, and they can direct you if you're willing to listen. Mary went to Elizabeth's house because she needed a little bit of coaching. She needed to hear from somebody who was further along in her situation than her. Mary was glad to see her. But watch this. This idea of saluting Elizabeth, it also means that Mary joyfully welcomed, listen to this, Elizabeth into her business. Allow me to help somebody out. You're trying to get somewhere. You're trying to accomplish something. You're going through a situation that your grandmama, that big mama, that your auntie and your uncle has already been through. It would be foolish for you not to consult with people who's already been there. Elizabeth, or Mary, welcomes Elizabeth into her business. Okay, can I tell you something? Beloved, during this greeting, there's something else that took place. But let me first point out to you what did not take place. I heard some of our seniors shouting amen, but let me park at your pew for just a moment. I need you to know that Elizabeth, once Mary got to the house, she did not condemn Mary for being a teenage, unwed mother. I need you to know, I knew I wasn't going to get a whole lot of amens. Maybe there's some amens in this section. Let me tell you something. She did not condemn Mary for shacking up. And I need to pause right there just to tell some old folk respectfully, anytime a young person comes to you Sometimes they just need your support. You ain't always got to condemn. You ain't always got to correct. Sometimes you just need to pray for. Sometimes you just need to listen to. Sometimes they just need a shoulder to cry on. Listen, let me say this. I'm meddling right now. I ain't preaching right now. Let me meddle for just a little bit more. Some of the sin that you don't do is not because you don't want to do it. It's because you can't do it. Your knees won't allow you to do some of the stuff that you used to do. Your stomach ulcers won't allow you to drink some of the stuff that you used to drink. So please don't act all holier than thou when a young person is doing something that you think they ought not be doing. You used to do it too. In fact, let me tell you something. They learned it from you because you passed it to them. And then you get to the sanctuary, you want to act all uppity and sedity. Let me tell you something. You've been there. You wanted somebody to listen to you. You need to. I know I'm right, brother. Listen. The truth of the matter is, some of your marriage license, the dates don't line up with your baby birth certificate dates. But Mary, she goes to get a word from Elizabeth because Elizabeth is further along. Elizabeth does not condemn Mary. Let me show you what happens in the text. When Elizabeth heard Mary greet her, when she heard Mary salute her, something happened down on the inside of her. Unless my Bible is broken, it appears that the baby in Elizabeth's stomach shouted. The Bible says, and the baby leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. Can I tell you something? John the Baptist was always excited about Jesus. Can I tell you something? When you get in the presence of Jesus, you ought to be excited about Jesus. This is why I don't understand a church that won't make no noise. This is why I don't understand when you come into the presence of God, you sit on your hands and won't clap your hands. This is why I don't understand why you won't wave your hands. This is why I don't understand why you won't shout hallelujah. Because if you're in the presence of Jesus, watch this, not the presence of the preacher, not the presence of the people on your pew, but if you're in the presence of Jesus, you ought to show some sign. You ought to say, listen, I don't want no rocks crying out for me. This baby shouted in Elizabeth's womb. But watch this. The Bible also says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of us get filled with some spirits, but it ain't the Holy One. Some of us filled with the spirit of anger, the spirit of arrogance, the spirit of greed. But I need you to know something. You're in the presence of Jesus, and since you're in the presence of Jesus, just like Elizabeth, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants to dwell in you, and when the Lord showed up, although the Lord was confined to the womb, he was still present in Mary's life and in the life of Elizabeth. Watch this. And in the life of Elizabeth's baby. Let me park again right here just for a moment to talk about pregnancy. What you do and how you deal during a time of pregnancy is not only important to you, but it's important to the one in the womb. That's why you ought to talk. When my wife was pregnant, with my girls. I used to talk not only to my wife, but I used to talk to my babies. I wish Beyonce's song was out when my wife was pregnant, because I would have sung to them, "Brown Skin Girl. You're my world, bro." I gave them, watch this, affirmation. Even before they were born, I told them that they were brilliant. I told them that they were beautiful. I told them that they were going to be somebody. I prayed for them while they were in the womb. I prayed for their friends. I prayed for their husbands while they were in the womb. Watch this, because when you're pregnant and you're expecting, things that go on the outside makes a difference. I need to ask you today, is there anybody in the room that's pregnant? Is there something down on the inside of you that God is waiting to pull out of you? Maybe it's not going to take 9 months. Maybe God wants to deliver today. Elizabeth's baby was happy, but watch this. We see that there is joy and gratitude. Verses 42 through 44 says, "And she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And for behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy.'" Elizabeth says what we already know. Verse 42, she says, "First of all, Mary, you're blessed. You're blessed not only to have Jesus in your life, but you're blessed to have Jesus in your womb." Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? You're blessed to have Jesus in your life. You're blessed to have Jesus in your heart. You're blessed to have Jesus in your soul. You're blessed to have Jesus in your mind. It's a blessing to be in relationship with Jesus. You do know that Jesus didn't have to choose you to be in relationship with him, don't you? You do know that You really ain't good enough. You do know that Jesus is really not the one that was lost and you found him. You do know that, don't you? Let me remind you. Some of you was in the crack house when Jesus came looking for you. Some of you were in the whorehouse when Jesus came looking for you. Some of you were at the club, buying out the bar when Jesus came looking for you. Everybody didn't get saved at this address. You were somewhere where you had no business being, doing something that you had no business doing, with people you had no business being with, and Jesus stepped right into your life. I know I'm right. I don't need your amen right there. But the truth of the matter is, you really don't deserve Jesus. You really don't deserve his grace and his mercy. My friend tells this story. He was in a revival and had landed at the airport. He was running late. He went and he got his rental car, and they upgraded him to a Ford Mustang. And anytime the rental company gives you a Ford Mustang, it means that they want you to go fast. I just believe that. They want you to go fast. And my brother in the ministry, my colleague, said he was trying to make his way from the airport to the church, and he was going fast. And he said he pulled up, and it was this lady next to him when he pulled up, and he looked at her and she looked at him. And you know what that look means when you're in a Mustang. That means somebody wants to get into it with you. So he got into it with her, and he took off. But he did not see the the police car off to the side. And my friend said, watch this. He said that he started praying. And he said he was out ahead of the woman that he was racing. And what happened is he saw that cop car pull out. He saw those lights come on, but grace and mercy did not allow the police to pull him over. He pulled the woman over. What had happened is he had got ahead of the woman, and the woman had pulled in behind him before the police officer. This is what Jesus Christ did for us. Watch this. We were headed toward destruction, and God's wrath was on his way to get us. But watch this. Jesus stepped in, and watch this. He took on the punishment for our sin. We don't deserve Jesus. Listen, Elizabeth says to Mary, you're blessed. You don't deserve it, but watch this. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. You already know that Jesus himself is a blessing. But then I need you to understand, Elizabeth really strengthens what I'm trying to argue right here. Elizabeth says, I'm undeserving of this visit. Not because of who Mary is, but because of who's in the inside of Mary. I'm not worthy because Jesus is in you. Listen, wherever Jesus is, I'm not worthy to be. That's why I sweat out my shirts on Sunday, because I know that I'm in the presence of God. And anytime I'm in the presence of God, I understand that I really don't deserve to be there. See, some of you never been in the club. You've been sedity all your life. You never been invited into the VIP back room of the club. No, nobody ever bought you the expensive bottles. Listen, there have been times that I've been places that I got. Let me tell you something. I went to the Cardinals games a couple weeks ago, and went to the Cardinals game, and we had some seats that was outside, and the person that got me the ticket, she said, you know we can go in there. And it was raining, I was cold, I don't like the rain. And I said, you going in there? And I asked other, you going in there? I'm going in there too. Let me tell you something. I didn't buy the ticket. They were not my seats. Somebody gave it to me. I didn't deserve to be there. You don't deserve to be in the presence of Jesus. Not only did he invite you into his life, he gave you VIP. He said, you're my child. I'm going to take care of you. Watch this, verse 44. The one who was inside of Elizabeth, or who was inside of Mary, brought joy to the one who was inside of Elizabeth. Can I tell you something? There ought to be so much joy in your life that it's contagious. Your joy ought to spread. You know how winter germs spread? Your joy ought to be just like that. In fact, you ought to be so joyous because of somebody else that people can't stand to be around you. I'm not talking about your happiness now. I'm talking about your joy. I'm talking about when trials and tribulations come up. There ought to be some joy. I know you don't got enough Christmas money. I don't got enough Christmas money either, but I still got joy. I got some of the joy that was passed down from my grandfather to my mother. I remember sometime that I would walk in the house and my daddy would be on his knees talking about how he thanked God for me. I remember my mama talking about what a joy she. I can remember my mama down in the basement on Saturday mornings, and my mama would be humming hymns, and I'd walk down to the basement, and tears would be rolling down my mama's face, and I say, "Mama, what's wrong with you?" And she tell me this joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away, because even downstairs in the laundry room, Mama was in the presence of Jesus. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, every now and then, you ought to be in the presence of Jesus, and in the presence of Jesus, there is always joy. This joy, though, it comes with a guarantee. Verse 45, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Beloved, you and I can always have joy because the Lord always fulfills his promise. In the previous verses, before Mary visits Elizabeth, Gabriel the angel of the Lord, visits Mary. And in verse 28, Gabriel greets Mary and says to her, "You are the favored one." I know that we like to greet one another, ask one another, "How we doing?" And we say, "Blessed and highly favored." You know, we can be so spiritual every now and then. But I need you to know, you ain't the blessed and highly favored one. You might be blessed, but Mary is the one who is highly favored because she carried Jesus. But watch this. Gabriel tells Mary, not only is she highly favored or favored among men, says you found favor with God. Can I tell you something? If you got the favor of man and you ain't got the favor of God, you in trouble regardless of how it looks. If God is mad at you and everybody else is okay with you, then you got a problem on your hands. Mary had found the favor of God. Watch this. Not because Mary was so good, but because God is so good. You're not good enough to have God's favor, but he gave it to you anyway. That's what favor is. Verse 33, Gabriel tells Mary she's going to have a baby, and the baby's daddy is going to be God. And Mary gets to talking about, I'm a virgin. Joseph and I have not been married yet. No man has ever touched me in that way. Gabriel says, makes no difference. God has a special plan for your life. I need you to know, my brothers and sisters, God has a special plan for your life. It's not Mary's plan, it's not my plan, it's not your pew partner's plan, but God has a plan for your life. Watch this, because there's the favor of God even on your life. Gabriel, he tells Mary that this baby that she's going to have would reign as king forever. This is good gospel news. This promise was from the Lord. And I need to tell you that the Lord will always fulfill what the Lord said. Beloved, you do know that Jesus is still king, don't you? You do know that he's not campaigning. He was king yesterday, and he's king today, and he's going to be king forevermore. You do know that Fox News is not going to put on a debate for Jesus. He's not up for re-election. Jesus is king. Watch this. Jesus was king in the womb. He was king on the cross. He was king in the grave, and he'll be king in eternity. Jesus is king. Let me tell you something else. Jesus is also Lord. That's how Elizabeth described him. That's how you and I need to describe him. Jesus is Lord. We like Jesus being Savior, because Jesus being Savior, that means we get to die and we get to go to heaven. But I wonder, is Jesus Lord of your life? I wonder if you treat Jesus like my grandmother treated those towels with her initials on them in the bathroom. My grandmother, Mommy, is what we called her. She lived in Memphis, Tennessee, and every summer we'd go visit Mommy, and Mommy had these towels in the bathroom. They had lace on them, and they had initials on them, and they were pink, and they were pretty, and they were right by the sink where you would wash your hands. They were right in between the sink and the shower. But watch this, no matter how many showers you took or how many times you washed your hands, you knew not to touch Mommy's. You knew not to touch those towels. If it wasn't no other towels, you had to dry your hands like this. If it wasn't no drying towel, you have to air dry. But watch this, those towels were not to be touched. There was a room in Mommy's house, had plastic on the furniture, china on the coffee table, and you can go in any other room in the house, but that room was off limits. And sometimes we treat Jesus like those towels in that room. Jesus, you can touch anything else, but don't you step in this part of my life, because I'm Lord of this part of my life. I control this part of my life. Let me tell you something. He's either going to be Lord of all or not Lord at all. Elizabeth knew that she had come in contact with Jesus. She had come in contact with the Savior. She had come in contact with the King of Kings, and she had come in contact with the Lord. Beloved, have you come in contact with the Lord? Do you know him as Savior? Do you know him as King? Or does he control all of your life?